Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's wonderful to see all of you here tonight, and we're going to worship God for a while, and after that we're going to have a Bible study. What a wonderful thing to do, praise God. But before we do anything this evening, I'm going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this evening, asking for Thy guidance, Thy direction, asking that Thy perfect will be done. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst move upon our hearts today. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst mold us and shape us and make us what we ought to be. We ask, O God, for a movement of Thy Spirit, for Thy Holy Ghost to be upon each and every one of us. Let us feel Thy presence here tonight as we worship Thee, as we sing Thy praises, as we give Thee our hearts. And we pray that Thou wouldst abide over this entire service and this entire evening today. We pray this in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start in the chorus book. And I think we should start with number 40, which is Great is the Lord, because our God is great. Praise the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that we serve a God with no limitations? Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 34 and sing How Great is Our God? Because He is a great God. Praise the Lord. How great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. How great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. How great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea, and He said, I'll go with you. Just put your trust in me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, our God is great and He is forever the same. Our God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why don't we go ahead and sing that chorus, number 17 in the chorus book, Yesterday, Today, Forever. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it is a wonderful thing to magnify the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. In fact, why don't we go to our hymnals now and sing, I believe it's number 107, Glory to His Name. Because He does deserve all the glory we can give Him. Praise the Lord. 107. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. saved from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. That to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. That to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. That to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Praise the Lord. And we know that is a wonderful name, a name above every name. There is no other name greater than the name of Jesus. And we need to make sure that we take that name of Jesus with us everywhere we go. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 293 in the hymnal, Take the Name of Jesus With You. His loving arms receive us. tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and the joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and the joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and the joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and the joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection, and then we'll sing maybe one or two more, and let Shirley get started with her Bible study. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee for thy many blessings. We thank thee for thy provisions that have allowed us to be here for all these years. We ask, O God, for thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for thy will to be done. For we know that these funds belong to thee for thy purpose. And we ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, that mighty name of Jesus, that is the name upon which we need to build our lives. He is the solid rock, our Lord and Savior. We know that. In fact, why don't we go to number 18 and sing that song right now, The Solid Rock.
Hide his face, I rest.
rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, even is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Rest in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll sing one more. Why don't we just look right across the page and sing number 19, Deeper, Deeper. Daily let me go. Higher, higher in the school of wisdom, more of grace to know. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in Thy precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and His perfect will. Precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, though it cost our trials, deeper let me go. Rooted in the holy love of Jesus, let me fruitful grow. Oh, deeper yet I pray, precious holy word. Deeper, higher every day in Jesus, till all conflict pass, finds me conqueror in His own image, perfected at last. Deeper yet I pray, and higher blessed Lord, in Thy precious holy word. I pray, and higher every day. Precious holy word, praise the Lord. Willing, we're going to go deeper into the Word right now. We're going to have Shirley come up here, and she is leaving on Friday. We're not sure how long she's going to be gone, but she's going out west, and we're going to miss her a lot. But praise the Lord. We'll see what she has to say tonight.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to miss this too. I just love our song time. You know, you just let the Lord work in our hearts, and how wonderful it is. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know it's only God who can take us deeper. Oh, praise the Lord. And, you know, there's no other way to go but to get deeper into the Lord and into His ways. We're living in, I'll tell you, very, very, difficult times. I don't think we've begun to hardly see it, but we look at the things that are happening on this earth. We know that the coming of the Lord must be drawing very close also. You know, seeing these things as they, began to come to pass. The things that we've talked about for so long, but you know what I can hardly believe is how the hearts and the attitudes are preparing for the Antichrist system in all of this. You know, you wondered how they would ever do it, but oh my, people have changed. But I'm so thankful, as that little song, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Amen. You know, it should be an exciting trip. We are going to be visiting some people that we baptized earlier. We plan to be baptizing some folks in Idaho. And these are new contacts. These folks used to be Latter-day Saints. And fairly recently, the Lord began to show things to them, and they found this ministry. And it should be pretty exciting. We may go up into Canada. There's a young man up there that I had written to a few years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago, and he was in trouble at that time, and I remember just, you know, not knowing just how he received it. I just got a thank you back. But I'll tell you what, a little while ago, maybe a year ago or so, I heard from him again, and God's been working in his heart, and now he's a student in nursing school. He's trying to win people to the Lord, and he's doing volunteer work, and may get to see him also. He's recently been baptized also in Jesus' name. And that was something else that we talked about. So I'm not quite sure. And then I've got some work to do in Minnesota yet. I'm not finished there by any means. I just had another email. And I know that, there's some work to be done there yet. So at one end of the journey, I will be in Minnesota there to see what God will yet do there. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we've got some baptisms there too, pending, I believe, and some people that are hungry for God. And that matters, you know. I mean, we're in a dry and barren land, and sometimes you wonder who in the world is out there yet that is thirsting for the living water. But, you know, he's got a few people yet. I truly believe that, and the thing is, the laborers are very few. There's just not many people out there teaching and preaching the Word of God and declaring it like it says, and it there's a shortage. And so all I know is we've got to do what we can do as individuals. The time is short. But whatever the Lord puts in our heart, we need to do. Because He's coming one of these moments. One of these moments, He's going to come. It's going to be over. He's going to come and not tarry. And we're going to see Him finally. We're going to stand before Him. And you know, wow, we sure want to have done the Lord's will at that point. You know, we sure do want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord." Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we start here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You, God, that we can open up the pages of Your Word, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You've given it to us, Lord. And oh, Lord, so much, Lord, the way You talk to us, Lord, the way You lead us and guide us, Lord, and Thy faithfulness, oh, Lord, which is beyond our comprehension, Lord. Thy goodness, Thy mercy, Thy kindness to us, Lord. Oh, God, and the power of Thy saving name, Lord, that You've given us, Lord, that we can utter it, oh, Lord, when we're in trouble and despair and not knowing where to go or what to do or what to say. But, Lord, Thou art that anchor of our soul, Lord. Oh, God, Thou art that high and mighty tower, Lord. And, oh, God, we thank You that the righteous can run into it and are safe, Lord. Oh, God, You've spared us from so much, Lord. And I pray, oh, Lord, that You would take us deeper tonight, Lord. Pray that You talk to our souls, oh, God, that You'd bind the strong man and every enemy of our soul that would seek to devour us, to distract us, oh, Lord, to hinder us, God. We come against every giant, oh, Lord, that we might be facing, and we ask, oh, Lord, that, oh, God, Your Spirit would prevail in our souls, Lord. Oh, God, that You would feed us from that with that manna from heaven, Lord, that You'd give us words of eternal life, Lord. Oh, God, that You lead and guide us and help us, Lord, not to be distracted. Oh, God, help us not to be misguided, Lord. Oh, God, keep us on that straight and narrow way, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, oh, Lord, You said, "Few there be that find it." And what a privilege it is to stand here tonight, Lord. Oh, God, having Your Word in the heart, Lord Jesus, and knowing that they are the words of eternal life, Lord. Thank You, God. Oh, thank You, God. Thank You for Your words. We ask, oh, Lord, that You talk to us. Oh, God, that You move in our hearts, that You change us, Lord, that You purify us, God, that You lead us, God, that You would take us deeper. Oh, Lord, oh, God, we seek to please Thee, Lord. The strong man be bound, oh, Lord, in every work of darkness, everything that would seek to hinder or destroy, oh, God, or to distract us, Lord. Oh, God, let it all be brought down. We make it all, asking that we would be subject to Your mighty will and to Your ways. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, be here, Lord, for without You we can do nothing. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God for His mercy to us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. We're going to be talking about overcoming the flesh tonight. And just thinking, you know, one of the great enemies of our soul is carnality. And that's a giant that every one of us fights. And I'm just thankful that there's a lot that is said in God's Word to strengthen us and to help us and to bring us to that deeper place in the Lord and to get us to that higher ground and, you know, to help us to not be overcome by, you know, the temporary struggles in this world and the persecution that might arise or the friction or, you know, the unbelief or just, you know, all the little pits in the road, all the, you know, the hindrances, you know, it's there all the time. We're still in this flesh, and believe me, we're still fighting. If we're not fighting, then it means we've given in to an enemy. But by the grace of God, we're going to fight that good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Amen. That's the only way to go. That's the only thing that we can do. But praise the Lord by the grace of God, because that's what it's going to take. It's not going to be by our own ability or strength. It's going to be completely by the strength that is in Jesus Christ. It's going to be completely by His faith and His mercy toward us and what He's done for us and the way that He can make a way for us, even when it seems like there is no way. Oh, wow, praise the Lord. You know, we're just few in number, but, you know, Everybody else is out there doing their own thing, going their own way. You know, we have so much to appreciate because somehow, and I talk to individuals quite often about this, how God had mercy on us and how somehow he got a hold of us. I mean, because you see everybody else just, you know, doing their own thing and going their own way and you know, maybe not even perceptive at all to God's word, but he's done a work in our heart. And here we are tonight. Here we are. And oh, I thank God. I'm so thankful that he brought us here tonight. And everyone online, and everyone that will hear this message, we're just going to believe that God's going to work. And he's going to change us and help us. Amen. Overcoming the flesh. Let's go to Mark, the 14th chapter here to begin. Mark 14. It was really something the Lord kind of pointed the scripture out last week as I was preparing, and it just came to me as I was just looking it over. No, that's not for that week. It was for this week. And so, praise the Lord, we're going to go from there and see how the Lord directs this. Overcoming the flesh. Amen. Let's go to verse 32 here, and in one of the most, significant moments in the history of this world. If not, it's leading right to it. And it here says in verse 32, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. Well, here we have our Savior, our Lord. Probably the lowest moment that he ever had to go through there as he existed here on this earth, as he went through those 33 and a half years, short years of his ministry, or of his lifetime and 3.5 years of his ministry. And here he is at Gethsemane. And it isn't that he was unaware of what was going to happen. He knew that the reason that he came into the world was upon him. And he knew what he was going to have to bear. And believe me, he had flesh just as we have flesh. And just as this would not have been easy for any of us, or even anything that we might have to consider in the future, none of this would be easy for any of us. And here he is at his very most difficult moment and wanting some support. Just hoping that there could be somebody that could stand with him and help him and just be there with him. I know sometimes just having another person at your side makes such a difference. I just remember some moments how wonderful it was to, you know, have that other person right there, you know, in the delivery room, for, you know, and all that sort of thing. Or, you know, if you had to go through this or that, boy, it sure is nice to have somebody right there with you, especially somebody who knows how to pray. I mean, wow, what a difference that can make. So here is Jesus, and he told the disciples to sit there while he went and prayed, and he took 3 that I assume he thought were the strongest of the 11 at this point to go with him, Peter, James, and John. And you know, again, it's very heavy upon him. He says he's sore amazed. In other words, he's just, you know, it's alarming. It's stunning. It's almost unbearable. It's very, very heavy. And he expresses it. My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch. And so he went a little bit further on and he fell on the ground. I think we've all gone through moments where, you know, you just fall to your face and cry out to the Lord. You know he's your only hope, the anchor of your soul, and there's no other answer. And that's all you could do. And boy, I know what that's like, but I've not had to go through anything like our Lord Jesus went through. Here he is, he's going forward, and falls on the ground, and he's praying again. And he's saying, if it was possible, let this cup pass from me. It was no more easy for him to bear that than it would be for anybody else. Because that cup was not only death, but he was bearing the sins of the whole world. And how ugly and horrendous the thought even is. But here it is again, he's praying. And, you know, just saying, Father, if it's just possible, just could you take it away from me? But yet, he was praying, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So we know, you know, as far as, you know, his spirit and his flesh, this was extremely difficult, even for Jesus Christ. And so he prayed, and I'm sure it was beyond these few words that are given us here. And there's Peter, James, and John, and they're sleeping. And he said, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? And then some very important words here in verse 38. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. I know in Matthew it says the spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I think this is just so significant. And this is the scripture that I began to build this message on, because you know that need that we have as Christians, that need to watch and pray. It's ever upon us, and so much right now than ever before. I mean, these are very alarming moments. I know I'm in the process of reading the proofreading the newsletter right now, and you know, Sam is talking about this papal letter that Pope Francis issued, and it wasn't just to the Catholic folks. He addressed it to every individual in the world, and you know, it's revolutionary what he's proclaiming there or asking for. And he's hoping, he's using, you know, the global warming thing and the pollution issues to unite people with a common cause and a common need. And in the process of all of this, he's talking about the great need for political states to be brought backwards or to go downward and in their stead to for one great common unit of government to arise, one political unit to arise. And you know, he's very communistic in his thinking. In other words, to me it sounds like a dictator. And you know, he's actually, you know, suggesting that, you know, the nations of the world all come together. He's advocating that really strongly. And in the process of doing that, he's, you know, asking for a strong leader to emerge that could direct all these peoples, these diverse peoples, these diverse nations together as one political unit. I'll tell you what, I mean, this man is, there's, you know, they've all, you know, these popes have all said their various little things that were, you know, a bit alarming, but this, you know, is getting right down there. It's right in our face, and if this man isn't the false prophet, then I don't know. He certainly will do for the moment, you know, but obviously things are coming to a head. Things are coming to a head, and you know, if we have a next year, it may be altogether different. We may not have the privileges that we have right now. We may not be able to travel in the next future, in the next, you know, few short months. You know, things could come down. I mean, right now, there's that Jade Helm thing going, that operation the military is going about doing at this point, where their military is going to 9 different states, and some are very concerned about this because they feel like this operation could bring about martial law. And of course, you know, they're downplaying it and, you know, making it, these are just exercises and blah, blah, blah. But God knows. God knows what they're really doing and, you know, what they're trying to do and what their intentions are, their goals. You know, we know that there's evil men in control of this world, and their plans and desires are not. They're not very nice. They're not very nice by any means. But praise the Lord, we know the one who is really in control. We know a God and Savior. And, you know, He's given us an outline in His Word so that we can follow hard after it, and we can hide it in our heart, and we can know what's going to happen. We know that there's going to be an Antichrist and a false prophet, but they're going to be taken in their own devices. They're going to be taken in their own snares. They're going to be brought down to the lowest hell. And it's all going to be over one of these days. It's all going to be over, and this earth that they value so much is going to be brought to nothing. Oh, yes, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. You know, it's all going to pass away. The heavens are going to vanish. They're going to be burnt up. And, of course, all the works in this earth are going to be destroyed. Nothing's going to matter except the things that are eternal. The things that we have done for the Lord, that's all that's going to matter at that moment. It's not going to be anything else to boast about or, you know, to put our trust and hope in. It's all going to go. It's all going to vanish. And, I mean, I just feel sorry for these people that their only hope is in this world. And again, yes, they're meeting together, you know. The scientists of various backgrounds are all trying to figure out what they can do to save this planet. And, you know, possibly how they could go to other planets and you know, sustain life. And, maybe refreeze the polar ice caps. And, I mean, you know, it just goes on and on. I mean, they're desperate. And, you know, a lot of their thinking is to us, it sounds ridiculous. But they have no hope other than this world. And, you know, they're just trying to think of anything that sounds like a possible, you know, sustaining thing to keep this world going. But our hope and trust is in the Lord. Amen. As long as we can run this race with patience and hold on to our Lord and Savior. But here Jesus was telling His very beloved friends to watch and pray, lest he enter into temptation. And I know I was so glad for Samuel's message on Sunday. He talked about prayer, and he and I had such a discussion. You know, prayer is so needful. I mean, I don't know how we can have strength if we don't fall to our knees and cry out to God. I don't know how we can have strength. You know, I don't see how, you know, 2-minute prayers are going to help us to have that strength that we need in these evil times that we live in. I don't see how that's going to cut it by any means. We need moments. We need hours on our knees talking to Almighty God and crying out for His mercy, for His strength, for faith. Faith that we've never had before. Faith greater than any that we've ever known. And praise the Lord, we can go to the One who could do all things, who can help us, who can make, you know, impossibilities possibilities, and who could give us strength, who could hold us up even at our very darkest moment in this life and give us strength that we will not be able to have in ourselves. Oh my, we're going to have to know the Creator. We're going to have the Holy Ghost deep inside. But here it is, Jesus at his very low moment there, wishing, desiring that they would pray with Him. And of course, you know, we know that it happened 3 times that he had hoped that they would be praying with Him. He went back to prayer, and you know, after that 3rd time, he knew that hour was come, and there was no more time to pray. It was over. And so it is going to be with us too. You know, our darkest moment is going to pass away at some point. It's going to be over. There's going to be no more time. There's going to be no more time to seek the Lord and to find His will, to get right with God and to do the things that matter. It's going to be over one of these moments. So here it was. It was over. And we know that Peter and actually the rest had declared just prior to Gethsemane that, you know, although everybody else would be offended, that they were, you know, they would not be offended, that, you know, they would stick with the Lord Jesus no matter what. And I mean, as you know, we know how the story ended, but Jesus had given them just, you know, some clues that, you know, he was going to have to give his life. He was going to have to drink that cup. And you know, he went to Zechariah 13. If we look a little back there in chapter 14 of Mark, verse 27, Jesus saith unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." That was prophetically uttered in Zechariah, the 13th chapter. But he also told them that he was going to be risen. He was going to raise himself from the dead. He was going to be risen. And then he said, "I will go before you into Galilee." And Peter, however, said, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Jesus knew that he didn't have that kind of strength at that moment. Jesus knew it. And the others, it tells us, I believe in the Gospel of Matthew, said likewise. They all thought that they had strength to stand. But Jesus said unto Peter, "Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And so it was. We know that as Jesus was in Pilate's judgment hall, that Peter denied Jesus. And of course, when he realized what he had done, he went out and wept bitterly. And you know, he had thought he had strength. But he didn't. He didn't have it. He didn't have it yet. We notice after Pentecost that Peter was utterly changed. And there we see a man with great strength as he stood up bravely, boldly proclaiming the gospel as it was declared, having the keys to the kingdom of God. Oh yes, he was a changed man after Pentecost. But at this moment, he did not yet have the gift of the Holy Ghost and he lacked strength. But yet he didn't realize how weak he was. He didn't realize that he was going to deny Jesus in just a few hours from that point. But it happened, didn't it? It surely did. You know, Paul realized that within each and every one of us, there's a great struggle that goes on. That struggle of the flesh versus the spirit. And he talks of it. He talks of it in Romans, the 7th chapter, and in also in the 8th chapter, and it goes into all of those details. But the beautiful thing is that Paul realized that we have enablement through the blood of Jesus Christ, through that finished work of Calvary, for what he did for us there on the cross. So when he was there, the earth all dark, you know, and, you know, people thinking that he was deserted. But no, he was there taking our sins, paying a price that no one else could ever pay for that unrighteousness in our own lives, that, you know, that iniquity, those deeds, those sinful things that were all a part of our lives. There he was, paying the price for it, redeeming us, setting us free so that we could come to him and know what forgiveness is like. Praise the Lord. But Paul had quite a past. And you know, I suppose it was almost ever before him in some ways, even though, you know, he was striving to go forward and forgetting those things that are behind, pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He certainly talked about that. But, you know, he had done some horrible things in his past. If you go to 1 Timothy, the first chapter, it tells us a little bit as Paul is writing to Timothy at this point. If we look at verse 9, it begins to tell us. It says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And then he says in verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And this is his background, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtain mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, praise the Lord, that's why he came to this world. And it's worthy of all acceptance. All can come to him if they have eyes to believe, if they have the ability to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact is that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. And he says, continuing in verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So here he is. You know, he had that background. And wow, it's all that have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. There's none of us that are exceptional, and, you know, we're so perfect that we didn't need a Savior. It's, you know, that's totally a false premise, if that's the way you think. No, because it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yes, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. We had no hope in this world. We were all without hope. And, you know, it was only because Jesus had mercy toward us that we could find grace in his sight and come to him and know what it's like to be his child, to know what it's like to be set free from sin and to be delivered from this present world. But praise the Lord, Paul knew what it was like to have to strive for the mastery, to strive to live in accord with the Spirit of God. And as I said, he talked a bit about that. Romans, the 7th chapter, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but that chapter talks about how the law was needful at that point. But there was a limitation with the law. It says in verse 14 here in Romans 7, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So they weren't able to keep it because they had a sinful, carnal nature. And the law was spiritual. So there's a pulling force here. You know, yes, they might have wanted in their heart to keep it. And I'm sure many of them tried. But they had that flesh that was pulling them the other way. And, you know, it was very, very difficult. In fact, we know no one kept it but Jesus Christ himself. No one could keep it. perfectly at all. And so there was this conflict, and Paul writes about this conflict, you know, that war that was, you know, between the flesh and the spirit. You know, the flesh wanting to go one way and the spirit wanting to do the other. But there was something, you know, that sin could be given to the Lord Jesus. The Lord made a way. He knew that we needed help, that we were pathetic. We couldn't do it without Him. He saw that there were limitations with the old covenant, with that first law that was given. So He came to this earth. Oh, that we could have atonement through His grace and mercy, that we could find forgiveness and know what it's like to live above sin, if only we will follow after the Lord and seek His face. So Paul talks about this wrestling. And here it says in verse 20 here in Romans 7, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." So he keeps on talking about it right here. That conflict, that war that's going on inside. "I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." So there's always that resistance. Oh yeah, I really want to do this. But, you know, my carnal, natural nature doesn't want to. So he says in verse 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." And then he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" It seemed that there was no hope under the old law. Yes, they would bring their sacrifices year after year and gain forgiveness for the past sins. But, you know, the sins would accumulate. And they would need to do it again and again and again. And it must have seemed like it was, you know, just, you know, something that you could never attain to as you wanted to. But praise the Lord Jesus came. Verse 25 says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with a mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So he's talking about the mind that's been given over to the Lord Jesus, a spiritual mind. And praise the Lord, God made a way that He would put His Spirit within us, which is a beautiful thing. Because if we look at the very next chapter here in Romans, we find out what a struggle it is, and how that, you know, to be carnally minded is death, is eternal separation from God. But praise the Lord, if it's given to the Lord, if we come to Him in repentance, we go down in the waters of baptism for the remission of our sins, we're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that condemnation is over. It says in verse 1 of chapter 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Praise the Lord, God made a way. He would put His Spirit within us so that the law would be written on our inside, in our minds, so that we could serve God with our hearts, with our minds, if they're spiritual. And so that delivers us from the law of sin and death. It says in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." That old nature, that old man, all those struggles, when it's given to God, when we come to Him in repentance and surrendering the will, being baptized in His name and filled with the Holy Ghost, He makes us free from that old law, that old nature, that old man, that old ways, the old covenant. The law of the Spirit begins to reign in our life. And it says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." And that is a beautiful thing. Yes, Jesus in Gethsemane, knowing what He was going to have to bear, knowing that that hour was right upon Him at that moment. Oh, not an easy thing. Oh, very hard thing. In fact, we know that, I believe it's in the book of Luke, that it tells us that as He prayed there in Gethsemane, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood that fell to the ground. I mean, you know, the pressure of that, of knowing what he was going to have to endure and go through, it was so great that obviously the capillaries in his face, probably in his whole body, begin to burst. And I understand that people are very close to death when this happens. But yet there he was, knowing what he was going to have to endure. But there was something that he saw beyond that. He could see through eyes of faith that there was a people that he was redeeming, that he was bringing forth, that he was buried. A people that would serve him, a people that would turn away from the world and away from the ways of flesh and desire to serve God. He saw that. He realized there was something beyond that suffering. There was something beyond bearing that cross and enduring it. He saw you and I. He saw people that, would surrender their hearts to God and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, that would be heirs of eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his wonderful promises and what he endured for us. So it tells us here, the old law, in that it was weak to the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. That's why he came. Condemned sin in the flesh. Praise the Lord, he brought it down. He made a way of escape. He brought a way so that we could live above sin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what he was doing there at Calvary. He was doing it for us. And it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And it tells us, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Yes, that, you know, that enmity, that, you know, that struggle that goes on. But praise the Lord, there is a way that we could give our lives to the Lord. It tells us there's no way that if we're in the flesh that we can please God. It tells us in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. That's eternal separation from God. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I mean, you know, there's only two ways. One up, one down. You know, we're either carnal or we're spiritual. You know, it's going to be one or the other. And it's, you know, the one that we feed the most that's going to win this battle. But it tells us distinctly here, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Explains in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It separates us from God. It divides us from God. It hinders us from God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. There's just no way. The two don't meld. They don't weld together. Meld together. They're on opposite ends. And it explains, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're in the flesh, there's no way you could please God. You know, you might even claim to be a Christian. You might even start walking with the Lord. You know, you might have even been filled with the Holy Ghost. Sad to say that there are people that, you know, do come to the Lord and do surrender, but backslide and start walking in the flesh, believing the doubts and you know, living the other way. But there's no way that if you're in the flesh, you can please God. And it tells us in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. He made that special provision that, you know, the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ would come and dwell in us. You know, he gave up the ghost so that we might have it. You know, he breathed on his disciples before he went to the cross and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He knew that they were going to need that power from on high. For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He knew that they were going to have that enablement, that power to live above sin. He knew the weakness of their minds, you know. And as he had told them in Gethsemane, they needed to watch and pray, that they entered not into temptation. They didn't know how weak they were at that moment, and they all fled. They didn't have strength. Peter openly denied the Lord Jesus, and that was his beloved friend. But yet he didn't have strength. But yet the Lord made a way. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. It just tells us, you know, you're either of Christ or you're not. And you need the Holy Ghost. It says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. And yes, when we come to Christ, we die to our flesh, our old desires, our old whims, you know, our ambitions, all those other things that, you know, might have been a part of our past. All of that dies when we come to the Lord Jesus. And he makes us new creatures. You know, those old things become old. We put on the new man. And he fills us with the Holy Ghost. Oh, that body of sin becomes dead inside of us. We no longer want to live in that world. We don't want that carnal man to reign in our mortal bodies. But we give way to the Spirit of life that comes to dwell in our hearts. And then it explains in verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And there's our hope. One day, even if we do go to the grave, that one day that mortal body is going to be quickened by that Spirit that comes to dwell in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord for that. And then it says, therefore, brother, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that's what it takes. It takes putting down that old man, mortifying the flesh. In other words, it's subdued, it's conquered, it's put down, it's defeated. And we let the Spirit of God rise in our heart. And then it says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, he becomes our daddy. In that respect, we become his children, his sons and daughters. He gives us that spirit of adoption. And it says, if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Praise the Lord, and that's our hope. Praise the Lord, God had that plan that we might be his sons and daughters. We might be able to come to him and overcome this world and subdue the flesh, mortify that flesh. You know, here we are in this world today, and from what I understand, not too many churches are willing to preach against sin. And not too many churches are willing to preach against hell. I know our dear friends in Singapore have been working with a woman that was going to a so-called Christian church there in Singapore. And you know, they were kind of stunned because she confessed that she had never heard her minister ever talk about hell. Well, Jesus talked about hell. And if Jesus talked about it, I think we better listen. But that's the way of it right now. It doesn't seem that repentance is all that important to so many. So I guess there's not that much preaching against sin and the works of the flesh. But I tell you what, that doesn't leave much hope either, does it? Because it tells us clearly here in Romans 8, to be carnally minded is death. You know, that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, that carnal mind is enmity to God. You know, the two cannot coexist and get along. You know, we're either one way or the other. You can't serve two masters. You're going to either hate one and love the other, or hold to one and despise the other. You know, you can't serve God and mammon, as we are told in the Sermon on the Mount. So there is a great need, first of all, to be filled with the Spirit of Christ, and then a great need to mortify the deeds of the body, to put down the old man that tries to rise up, and a great need to allow the Spirit of God to lead us, to guide us, to direct our path. You know, in the book of Jude, some of those warnings of these last days is told here. If we could just go there to read a little bit here in the book of Jude. Jude is writing here, and he says, verse 17, if we just look at that for a moment. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. So here's a warning for last time Christians. Mockers, he's saying. These be they who separate themselves from, sensual, having not the Spirit. But he gave us a way here. He said, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And he says, of some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to preserve us. He's able to present us faultless. That's our Lord, our Savior. But here he tells us there's some that, you know, they separate us. They separate themselves from us. They don't want anything to do with Christians. They don't have the Spirit of God. You know, to us, the Bible, or to them rather, the Bible is foolishness. And they just walk after their own ungodly lusts, their own desires, their own self-will. You know, if it feels good, do it, sort of thinking. Not heeding what God's Word says at all. But verse 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Here's one of our keys here, how to build up our faith. We pray in the Holy Ghost. And I tell you what, there's many times when we don't know how to pray. But praise the Lord, the Spirit is able to make intercession for us. That thought is carried through there in Romans 8 chapter. As we look at the 26th verse in Romans 8, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And that is so precious. We can pray in the Holy Ghost. We can let the Spirit of God pray through us. And I believe all of us have these moments when we don't know how to pray. We feel that troubling spirit, you know, the uncertainty of our times and perhaps what we're going through and not knowing how even sometimes how to face the battle. But praise the Lord, there is a strength that we can get from God. And there's a strength that comes when we get down on our knees and pray in the Holy Ghost and let the Spirit of God pray through us, making intercession for the things that we can't comprehend and totally understand. I'll tell you what, that has saved me, I'll tell you, these last years, to be able to pray in the Holy Ghost, because so often it's overwhelming. You know, there's struggles, there's things you don't understand, you don't comprehend, there's confusion on every side, and you know, there's battles, and then besides that, there's people that, you know, you want to pluck out of the fire, and there's just so much to do for the cause of Christ, and so many times you don't know where to go, how to even start, but praise the Lord, we can pray in the Holy Ghost, we can build up our holy faith by doing that. And it's what a wonderful thing. The Spirit of God makes intercession for us so that we can pray for those things that are deep down inside that we can't put our fingers on, that we can't totally understand, maybe not understand at all, but He makes intercession for us so that we can be strengthened by His power from on high, so that our faith can grow and so we can overcome the flesh and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful privilege it is. We can live in the Spirit and put off the old man. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, has a lot to say about living in the Spirit and putting off the old man. If we can go there. We'll look at verse 17 here. It says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." That's how others are walking that don't know the Lord, in the vanity of their mind. In other words, in the emptiness of their mind. Just, you know, seeking to please themselves, doing what seems good to them. It says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." They can't see, they can't understand, they're ignorant of the true word of God. It says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ." In other words, that's the way of the world, those that walk after the flesh, that have given themselves over to those lustful spirits, the spirit of lasciviousness. And wow, what a horrible condition it is to be in. But we have not so learned that in Christ. It says in verse 21, "If so be that ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." And again, here it talks about that renewing that we need, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Wow, I think we need that renewing every day. That Spirit of the Lord to be quickened in us so that, oh, we could get to that place we need to be, so we could overcome for that moment, so that Spirit of Christ can reign in us and dwell in us, give us that ability to live in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And it says in verse 24, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Then it tells us, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." You know, there's sometimes an angry indignation that might rise in us because of the sin in this world. And you see that expressed in Jesus when He went into the temple and found out that they were, you know, exchanging money there and extracting way more than was appropriate and, you know, selling things in the temple and all this and that, things that were not appropriate for the house of prayer. Yes, there was a righteous indignation that rose up in our Lord and Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But, you know, we don't want to give way to an anger that destroys the soul. And then it tells us, neither give place to the devil. And I believe that means that we don't want anything in our lives that would attract the devil, that would make us a candidate for some kind of occultic oppression, or who knows what else is beyond that. oftentimes people unaware give place to the devil. They have things upon their person or in their home or in their car or whatever among their treasures perhaps that give place to the devil. There's just a lot of things that, you know, if you were to examine them, have an occult background. Or, you know, maybe were instruments of the devil, like playing cards, for example, that, I believe it was Charles the Insane that, you know, had them created, if you want, he had them made for, you know, his own purposes, and you know, they actually blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ in what they do, but yet so many people have them and play with them and, you know, use them for whatever reasons. So many people, you know, delve into astrology, maybe have horoscopes written or look at, you know, the charts and, you know, esteem it and other things that are witchcraft in their backgrounds. You know, people don't realize that, you know, if they're addicted to drugs or tobacco, that they can be taken in evil spirits as they take in, you know, that nicotine. There's a lot of things that invite evil spirits into one's life. There's a lot of ways that you could give place to the devil. But the Lord would have us to live above that. He doesn't want us to give place to the devil. There should be nothing that would invoke evil spirits into one's life or invite them or encourage them by any means. We don't want there to be anything in our lives that would bring them back. The things that He's delivered us from, we never want them to be back. And so it needs to go. All of that needs to go. And then it tells us in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I think we talked about Zacchaeus a little bit last week and how the Lord touched his heart and he repented and he was giving his life to the Lord, that, you know, that conviction, you know, anything that he had taken that was not rightfully his, he was going to restore fourfold. You know, that was the Spirit of God working in him so that, you know, the things that he had inappropriately taken, that he had stolen, could be redeemed. Oh, God was working in him. And so he does with each and every one of us when we become new creatures in Christ. And then it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, words do matter. You know, it tells us that Jesus himself declared that, you know, by our own words we are going to be justified, or by our own words we are going to be condemned. It is very important to watch the words of our mouth. And, you know, some of those filthy things are mentioned in the next chapter of Ephesians. It says in verse 4 of chapter 5, neither filthiness or foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know, they should know us by our talk. You know, we don't talk like the rest of the world. And these days, people have no reserves. It just all comes out. I mean, in older days, you know, a mother might have washed her child's mouth out with soap if they said naughty words. But these days, it's like, you know, there's no restraint. People, you know, just let it come out. And, you know, it's not right. It's grievous. And they're going to be condemned by those filthy words. You can't take, you know, the Lord's name in vain. He clearly decreed that he would not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. You can't do that. You can't swear. You can't curse. You can't do those things and be a Christian. So it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. The words that come out of our mouth should be words of edification, that they would help somebody to grow in grace and knowledge in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 30 tells us, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye were sealed unto the day of redemption. Oh, praise the Lord. When he put that Holy Ghost in our heart, he was sealing us for that day of redemption. And, you know, he's coming back for that purchase that he's made. You know, he's coming back to claim his children. He put a seal upon us. And there's a seal that it talks about in the book of Revelation that's going to keep us from the evil. That seal that's going to redeem our souls. But we're not to grieve that Holy Spirit of God. And I'll tell you what, sin grieves the Holy Ghost. God wants his people to live above sin. I know that sometimes we all slip up and do regrettable things, but you know, as John was writing in his first epistle, it says, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sinned, we have advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Praise the Lord. He wrote those things. They were given unto us for our edification, for our knowledge, so that we could live in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But he did give us a way. Praise the Lord. We can come to him. Oh, Jesus Christ the righteous. And know that he is the propitiation for our sins. He's a payment in full that we can bring it to him. If we make a mistake, if we do a regrettable thing, we can come to him and ask him for his mercy, knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As also 1 John declares, praise the Lord, he made those provisions, but sin grieves our Lord. You know, he told, you know, the woman that was taken in adultery to go and sin no more. He told the man who was at Bethesda, who had been there 38 years, and that he, you know, he told him to take up his bed and walk. But he told him to go and sin no more, lest a more horrible thing happen to you. You know, he doesn't expect his people to wait in sin, to love sin, to walk in the flesh. It's not going to work. It's not going to work at all. We're not to grieve that Holy Spirit of God, which has sealed us unto the day of redemption. And it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. None of those characteristics should be in us at all. Bitterness and wrath, it needs to all go. Anger, clamor, you know, complaints and loud demands and, you know, that negative spirit that sometimes rises, evil speaking, all of that is just be put away from you. That's all the old man. That's all walking in the flesh. But we want to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we let the Spirit of God rise in our heart. We find ourselves on our knees seeking the Lord, seeking his strength, so that we can rise above the temptations of this world and overcome it. And then it says, as this chapter ends, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Oh, that should be a characteristic of a Christian. That kindness one to another and that willingness to forgive one another. Yes, we all might, you know, say something dumb at some point or something bitter or cutting or, you know, something regrettable in other words. But praise the Lord, we can forgive one another, can't we? If we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we're willing to do that because Jesus Christ has forgiven us. He has made a way for us, even despite of the fact that we were dreadful sinners and had, you know, disdained his mercy and grace at earlier times in our lives, yet he made a way that we could be forgiven and come to him and be completely forgiven of those past deeds. Praise the Lord. So therefore, if we expect his mercies, we need to extend that same mercy toward our brothers and sisters and those that are without, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. All praise the Lord. So the Lord wants his Spirit to rise in our hearts. And I know the next chapter also goes on to tell us more ways that we can overcome the flesh. It tells us that we should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's another world out there. We don't want to blend with them. We don't want to fellowship with them. Our lives should reprove them. The way we act, the way we talk, the way we look should reprove those unfruitful works of darkness. And it tells us it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in darkness, those things in secret that they do. And it tells us, if we look at verse 15, that we need to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, we need to carefully consider what we're doing. We need to, make out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We need to walk carefully, considering the impact that our deeds will have on other people in our own life too. And then it says, redeeming the time, verse 16, because the days are evil. Oh yes, we want to do the things that matter. We want to have some fruit to give to the Lord Jesus Christ when we stand before Him. You know, we don't want to be like that servant that feared his master and hid, his pound in a napkin and did nothing with his life. We don't want to be like that at all, but we need to be as the ones that invested their life in the kingdom of God to gain more so that we would have something that would bear fruit in our lives, something to show Him when we stand before Him. He definitely wants us to be fruitful. So we want to redeem the time. The days are evil, and oh, they are so evil at this moment. It tells us, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. His will is that we would be occupying until He comes, that we'd be standing fast until the day of His coming, or the day He takes us home, whatever would happen first. That's His will, that we would be faithful servants. And then it says in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Oh, yes, we need the Holy Ghost to engulf us, to overwhelm us. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's going to be our key. That's how we're going to make it in this world, by walking in the Spirit, by having those directives that come right from the throne of God speaking to our hearts. And then it tells us how we could overcome in verse 19 by speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. There's something beautiful about it when we sing with all our heart. And, I love our song services, when we can just, get our mind set upon the Lord and put it all, into the right perspective and let His presence come down and fill the temple, to make a difference in our life. Oh, praise the Lord. We can speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And giving thanks always for all things, having a thankful spirit. That's how we overcome the flesh. By dwelling on the things of God, by lifting Him up, by casting down the works of darkness and anything that tries to rise up of the carnal nature at all, by putting it down, by walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, by letting the fruit of the Spirit abound in our hearts. Spirit, those fruits, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And as it tells us here in Galatians 5, and they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's how we make it to heaven. That's how we overcome the flesh. We crucify the flesh. We put it down. We mortify it with the affections and the lusts, the things that try to arise in our hearts. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then it says in verse 25 here in Galatians 5, If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. That's how we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we overcome. It says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. None of that. Those are all works of the flesh. But praise the Lord, we can put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can let His Spirit work in our lives so that we can overcome, so that the fruits of the Spirit can abound in our hearts. And praise the Lord, it's true. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. We put it down. We mortify it. We let the Lord Jesus arise in our hearts. And I'm so thankful that He gave up the ghost so we could have it, so that He could give us that overcoming strength, that overcoming power to live above sin, so that we might walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, and overcome in this short life that we have. Oh, praise the Lord, and hear Him say, well done, one day, as we stand before Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for His mercy. Thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, I thought it would be nice to close with a song from the hymnal tonight. We're going to sing number 140, By My Spirit. God is walking with you there. might, and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Then trust alone the mighty God. He speaks, the winds obey. Take courage then, O fainting heart, for you He'll make a way. Not by might, and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.